Gospel according to Luke. Glory
to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Everything that they had worked for, everything that they had hoped for, what has it come to? That awful, awful night when Jesus was arrested. That terrible day when he was flogged, when he was forced to carry his cross, when he couldn't carry it anymore and someone else had to assist. That day when he was placed on that cross, crucified and died, and was hurriedly placed in a borrowed tomb. All their hopes, all their dreams, all their expectations of who Jesus was seemed to be lost. The day that we call Holy Saturday, I've read, is the most honest day of the church year when we think about the waiting that the followers of Jesus had to endure, how the men were hiding, fearful that they would be next to be hauled away and crucified. It is a Sabbath day, and yet it doesn't feel like any Sabbath they've ever experienced before. The grief is horrific. And then the first day of the week arrives, and the women need to do what women do. Jesus' body has been hurriedly prepared. Some of the spices have been placed upon it. He's been wrapped in a linen shroud. And you could say that he was anointed even before by Mary of Bethany, the one who broke open that jar of precious nard and poured it over his feet, and kneeling, wiped it with her hair. But now it is time to finish those last preparations. And so the women go to the tomb with their spices, their ointments, their linen wrappings. And perhaps they talk to each other about how it seems impossible that Jesus is gone. And then they start asking, "And how are we going to move the stone from the tomb? We'll have to find someone to help us." And so in grief and sorrow, they go to the tomb where Jesus has been laid. And they notice that the stone has been rolled away. Someone has managed to get there before them, even though it's so early in the morning. And they go in and they don't see the body, which should put them in shock, because bodies just don't get up and move. Has his body been stolen? Has someone taken away their Lord, their master, and not allowed them to do this final act for him? But then they look closer and they see that the linen in which he's been placed has been rolled up. And there are two men? Angels? Who are they? All that they know is that these individuals are there in dazzling white and speak to them and say very strange words. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And they're thinking, but we're looking for the dead among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember his words? And they remember his words, words that they didn't understand, that they didn't understand before and are not so sure they understand now. Words that he said about needing to die and then being raised again. Is it true? And in their hearts, they know it is. And they run and they tell the men as they're instructed to do. And the men, of course, they don't believe. Why should they believe? What the women say is a fanciful tale. Who believes women? In those days, women were not to be believed. If you needed witnesses, you needed two men. Women's testimony didn't count for much. So why believe this fantastic story that they've told? But something nudges Peter. And we see in today's lesson, Peter is the one who goes to the tomb. You think if he had really had understanding, shouldn't he have been there first? But he goes to the tomb and sees it is just as the women said. And he comes away amazed. Why look for the living among the dead? It is just as he said it would be. And that is what we celebrate on this resurrection morning. What seems impossible for human beings, what is impossible for human beings, is not at all impossible for our God. To send his Son to live among us, to endure what we endure, to know the grief that we bear, to die, those are human things. But to be raised again shows something else. We see in this both that Jesus is fully human and that Jesus is fully divine. I look for the living among the dead. I don't know about you, but lately I've seemed to be around the dead quite a bit. I had a funeral just last week. There are two funerals coming up this week. But there's something different about death and about funerals for us than for others. And it's what's stated in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. This is what is written. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. And it talks about the day when Jesus comes again. And we pray for his coming once again in glory. But are we ready for it? There are days when I pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. And others when I say, come, Lord Jesus, but not quite yet. I'm not quite finished. There are days when I realize I'm still looking for the living among the dead. I look for things in my life that are dead, that need to stay dead, and places in my life that have been renewed and are alive. I look for the living among the dead. Look for the living among the living. We're told in our second reading today, in 1 Corinthians 1 thing that we need to remember. And that is that what we believe is true, even though the world denies it. He said, if for this life only we've hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then in his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, after he's destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And what is the last enemy to be destroyed? Death. Death itself is the last enemy to be destroyed. In a world where we encounter pain and suffering and death, to know that the day will come when death itself is destroyed. Then in Jesus' resurrection, we have hope of our own. And today's gospel lesson was from the gospel according to Luke. There was an alternative reading from John, which focuses on Mary Magdalene. Remember, she is so caught up in grief, looking for the living. Some living person who could tell her where her dead one is. But she doesn't recognize her living Savior and thinks he's a gardener. And there's a blessing that was written by Jan Richardson. She writes, while it was still dark, John's gospel tells us that when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and finds it empty, the day is not yet begun. She says, I cannot tell you how much I depend on that detail. Easter starts in the shadows. Resurrection begins in the place where it is difficult to perceive. Here in the dark, as Easter makes its way to us and in us, I'm sending so many blessings for you. In whatever ache we carry, we may, like the Magdalene, know the astonished wonder of the love that calls our name. And here is Jan Richardson's blessing, called the Magdalene's blessing. For Easter Day, you hardly imagined standing here. Everything you ever loved suddenly returned to you, looking you in the eye and calling your name. And now you do not know how to abide this hole in the center of your chest, where a door slams shut and swings open at the same time. Turning on the hinge of your aching and hopeful heart, I tell you, this is not a banishment from the garden. This is an invitation, a choice, a threshold, a gate. This is your life calling to you from a place you could never have dreamed. But now that you have glimpsed its edge, you cannot imagine choosing any other way. So let the tears come as anointing, as consecration, and then let them go. Let this blessing gather itself around you. Let it give you what you will need for this journey. You will not remember the words. They do not matter. All you need to remember is how it sounded when you stood in the place of death and heard the living call your name. And on this resurrection morning, Jesus calls our name as he did to Mary. On this day, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all, Lord of the living, Lord of the dead, Lord of all creation, Lord of us. On this day, I ask that you recommit yourselves to our Lord, our risen Savior. Recommit your lives. Put away those things that are dead. Let your life again be filled with the living love and grace and mercy of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. On this resurrection morning, know that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And the day comes when he will be there with us. We will see him face to face. And we will wonder once again at his astonishing love and mercy for us. Amen.